We're going to be briefly in the Word today. We're going to do something special to reiterate where we were. We're going through the book of Acts line by line, verse by verse. If you guys need a Bible, raise your hand. I'm just going to read a section of Scripture today. Just to give you some background on where we were in 10, we stopped at verse 33, and we saw Peter go to Cornelius at Caesarea. If you guys remember, the Lord came to Cornelius, who was a God-fearing Gentile. He's a Roman soldier, but he believes in the God of the Jews, but he hadn't heard the gospel, and he hadn't heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's the only way to really be saved, to be forgiven of your sin, to hear it and believe in it. And so God sends him an angel telling him to send for, basically seeing that he was truly seeking him, says, I'm going to send you somebody to share how you can know me. And he sends for Peter, and God goes to Peter ahead of time, kind of gives him a heads up that this is going to happen. I got this plan. I'm going to save Gentiles and Jews. I'm going to save everyone through faith in my son. And Peter goes with them to preach to Cornelius, and Cornelius has a group of people get understanding that Peter was sent from God and what he had to say was on behalf of God. And they're excited. They're there. It's like a home church, home Bible study, and they're ready to hear what Peter has to say. And so that's where we left it off. And I mentioned how it surely probably was startling for these guys to see a Jewish person or a person of Jewish descent, Peter, and these other people he brought with him, willing to not only come to a Gentile city, Caesarea, but come into a Gentile home, which was not be allowed under Jewish law, and be able to, like in a welcoming way, spend time with Gentile people. That surely would have captivated their attention to listen to what he had to say. So starting in verse 34, it says, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the he sent to Israel, preaching good news to all, you yourselves know what had happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he was from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling or praising God. And then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? And he commanded them to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Man, rich passage, so much there. Unfortunately, if you want to hear me expositionally go through it and point out, you're going to have to come back next week. So for the sake of not being in the heat, I'm just going to zero in on one verse here. And that's Acts 10:42, where it says, this is Peter preaching to them, talking about what they were commanded to do by Jesus, says he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. So there's two things that Jesus gave them as a commandment to do in their living for him, in their relationship with God. One of them was to preach, okay, to the people. The idea there is to tell them the good news, to teach the word, to preach the word of God, the truth that sets everyone chooses to believe in it, all right? The darkness, like we talked about last time. That's what Jesus's word is. That's what the gospel is. Like in this world where nobody knows what's going on, the sooner we get to Jesus's return, he is the one that exposes the things that are wrong and the things that are right through his word, all right? And so we're to tell people about that. But here's the second thing that I want to focus on today is that he said to preach to the people and to testify about him, all right? Because that's the second thing, and that's an important thing. The idea with testifying, if you guys have ever been in a court of law, some of you guys for the wrong reasons, maybe, and some of you for the right. But when you give a testimony in the court of law, what they're doing is they're having somebody come that has firsthand knowledge of something, some truth, that can speak to that truth, that can say, I heard this. And so we teach the truth to people. We tell people the good news, but then we also testify from our own personal experiences with Jesus why it is truth, why it's real. This why, from what we've heard, from what we've experienced with Jesus in our life. All right, that's the proof of the truth. Okay, you guys that have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're all the proof anyone needs if they're willing to look and listen to you and see what Jesus has done in your life. See the changes, seeing the transformation, see the prayers answered, seeing your day in the midst of, you know, suffering, whatever it might be. You're the proof of how real he is. And to tell people about that, I like Jesus kind of gives a little more information about this on how that looks when he saves the demoniac back in Luke 8, if you guys are familiar with that. There's this guy that's lived amongst the tombs or kind of in a graveyard, and he's possessed by several demons, and they try to chain him up and shackle him, and he's just in torment and torn up. And Jesus comes and he recognizes his need for Jesus, and he runs to Jesus, and Jesus casts demons out into a herd of pigs. But what's interesting is he has the right thing. He wants Jesus when Jesus is leaving, but Jesus tells him, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city and Jesus had done for him. And I love that picture because that's really all you're doing when you're sharing your testimony with people. You're just telling them all Jesus has done for you. And I would encourage you, it's not you were saved. I mean, that's when your testimony starts. But your testimony continues every single day of life until you go home to be with Jesus, because every single day of your life, Jesus is giving you more proof of how real he is. And it just adds to your testimony to share with others, all right? So what we're going to do today is we're going to share their testimony of all Jesus has done for them. So I'm going to have Megan and Mike Oyen come up here. You guys can give them a round of applause. These guys love to get in front of people. Actually, they don't. But now no one will know if you're sweating because you're nervous or if it's just because of the heat. So you guys are good to go.
Jeremiah 1. Before I formed, the blessings in my life are countless. I didn't have to have a family member die. I didn't have to have something for God to move aware to me. I didn't even consider it, because by worldly standards, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. You know, and until you know God and you know his nature, I think it's really hard to understand why you need a savior, why you need salvation. So I think the part of our testimony where we met each other, like Megan was saying, it was no small thing that I met her, because we really came to the Lord together. We had similar upbringings. Her dad was a doctor, very scientific based, child raising. I mean, my mom was a nurse, and it was a very clinical childhood. I praise the Lord every morning when I think about how he delivered her to me, because I would have came to the Lord without my wife. So, funny story about when we did meet in Alaska. I debated whether or not I was going to tell this story, but now I'm not saying this was divine intercession by the Lord on my behalf. When I got to Alaska, I met this girl in the airport when I got there, and up there, there's not very many girls, let alone the trends. So I met this girl, and, you know, she kind of told me where she was staying, and I went and hung out with her a few times, and it was a strike year, so we weren't fishing very much. I had a lot of time to drive around and just do nothing, really. My friend Richard had went to the cannery, and I go off. And this girl came, the girl I'd been hanging out with, her name was Kelsey. She came walking down these stairs and was coming over to see me. And she was, you know, a good distance away, probably about where those swings are. She yells, "Hey, Mike," and starts kind of half jogging, running over to me. And behind us, she didn't get hurt. She was fine. It was going about 4 or 5 miles an hour. But it just hit her, and she got up immediately. As a young man, I wasn't quite a gentleman. I should have ran after and make sure she was fine, but we just kind of looked at each other like, well, that was weird. And then, I mean, it was like, I don't know.
So there have been many times where he's like, do you think God allowed her to get hit by that truck?
I'm not saying he did. He did. So, you want to? Okay, Megan's going to talk.
So, yeah, like I said, we had kind of similar upbringings. My childhood was, like, pretty idyllic, really, until he came home to mom that he didn't want to be married anymore. And I think I was about 12, and I remember the gravity of that moment, like, wow, my parents are never going to live under the same roof again. And really, that's wrong. And that started off, like, I don't want to say depression, just kind of like a heaviness or a darkness for years that I felt. Kind of as my mom didn't seek, like, comfort in the world, ended up dying when I was 17. And then my dad attempted suicide. And so that was just a really difficult time. And looking back, I can see that, like, they were trying to fill that hole that only God can fill. But so after that, I went off to college and just kind of wanted to put everything behind me. I just didn't know how to deal with it, so I was kind of wild for a while. And just kind of trying to wrap my mind around life. But I didn't really say that it was even a creator. I didn't know. I had heard the gospel, but it wasn't anything that really, I kind of thought it was like a fable, honestly. So when we met, and really what started, how God started working in me was he just showed me things. Like, I loved gardening. He showed me his divine design. There were just these little seeds that he would plant. When I birthed to our firstborn, I almost had a C-section that was really unnecessary. And thinking, wow, my body can do this. This doesn't make any sense. Like, this is too perfect to be random chance. And then our firstborn, Henry, who this morning told me, Mom, your testimony is not the Lord. he was not a happy baby. He cried, cried, and cried. So any mothers out there who know what it feels like to have your crying, like, questions that no one could help you with. Nobody knew why he was crying. And so in my desire to, like, help him, God used that to lead me to him, to see the perfectness and the completeness of his creation. And at the same time, but it's interesting how we were doing this together.
Okay, so I'm going to kind of blast through this because it's so hot. But I know a little bit sort of me. I want to in my life actually reveal him to me and led to my salvation. So I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, just give my testimony, and my wife gives our testimony. Honor to you and glory to you with my testimony. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About the time in World War III, I read this book by Steve Ambrose, and in it he sort of mind the thing that led up to the atomic bomb dropped in Japan. And he familiar with it. It's where Stalin and Truman died at the time. That was Truman and Churchill met, and we're discussing Germany basically surrendered, and they're discussing basically how we're going to, you know, deal with Japanese and basically people started bombing them when there was a diplomatic solution because we didn't want to concede any political power to Russia in